Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian, and joining me today is...
Matt Mitchell.
Matt, if you guys don't know, is an independent artist and all-around awesome guy with great stories about pop culture and Star Wars and art, and we're looking forward to talking to him today. How you doing, Matt?
Great.
So, welcome to the studio. I like to call this the Nerd Den.
All right.
And as you can see, it's surrounded by nerdy shit.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So, Matt... you are an artist, you are an animator, you are a wrestler, you are
yes.
a coach, you are a man of many talents.
I don't know if they're talents necessarily.
You are a man of many passions.
there we go.
So why don't you tell the people listening a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into it.
All right. I am an independent artist. I've illustrated everything from comic books to concept art, and done animation for small businesses and commercials, and also for training and things like that. Just done a little bit of everything for about 25 years or so.
Nice. So you have a very distinct style, which I enjoy. You guys have seen the picture on my Instagram I posted of the black and white Spider-Man that he drew for me when he did the Inktober. So we'll share all your links and everything on the show notes and everything. But his it was the Matt-tastic one, right?
Yeah.
So he did Matt did an Inktober thing where he inked a new picture every day.
Yeah.
And it was some of the most amazing stuff. And he did this great Spider-Man one, and I saw it on Facebook, and I just put I can't have Spidey, and then he gave it to me, which was really cool. So yeah. So why don't you talk a little bit about like how you got into art? Some of your influences, and then we can go from there too.
Okay. Yeah. I got into art when I was probably about four. Influenced by Star Wars, saw it in the theaters. Huge change in my life. I mean, it like, not that I hit a huge change in life at four, but it influenced me, sparked some kind of creativity in me. And ever since I drew, and I knew exactly what I wanted to do when I grew up, when I wanted to get older, or, you know. So I immediately was into illustration and animation, you know, grew up watching Transformers, G.I. Joe, all of that, and Thundercats, all those fun cartoons of the 80s. And I knew, you know, that was my big influence, along with Disney, and I would just watch Disney movies over and over again, study the movement and everything, and facial expressions. And then once I got old enough to, you know, I went to college for art and design and became a graphic designer and illustrator, and I just continued with it ever since.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to, was called School of Advertising Art. Now it's called the Modern School of Art and Design.
In Dayton?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Very cool. And you draw some pretty amazing creatures. Aliens and things like that.
Yeah,
like they're a lot of fun. Where do you come up with a lot of that stuff?
Oh wow, everything from going to the zoo and just seeing small things. And I even one, I think I posted on Instagram. I got the idea from looking at my thumb. I thought the shape of my thumb looked odd, and I thought, you know what, that could be a creature right there. And also, you know. You see things from Star Wars, and you think, you know, I think I could even make something even stranger than that.
Yeah.
And that's, I get inspiration from everywhere. Even from, I've looked at the front of a car and thought it looked like a face and designed something off of that. I've designed cities off of bottles that were laying around or that were sitting around and that my daughter likes to stack in front of me. And I would turn that into a city.
Very cool.
So
so you were working on a graphic novel. You are working on a graphic novel.
Yeah.
So what's the title of it? What's it about? Kind of share that, and then we'll get
okay.
more into the story of the graphic novel.
well, I'm working on a graphic novel. It's called Armor. It's sci-fi fantasy. Along with a little twist of Indiana Jones in there, it's about the hunt for an armor to that is the only chance to save the galaxy from a dark threat that has taken over and has for generations has kind of had a grip on the galaxy. And the armor is broken into three seals, and it can only be used if the purpose of the armor is of the user is pure. And so it's this hunt for the, both sides are trying to get to the armor, and they're hidden in caves and things like that.
So you say pure, like, so is it pure good or pure evil? Does it matter?
Either way. So it can be corrupted.
All right. Very cool. Yeah. And then you shared a story with me a couple weeks ago, where you kind of smacked yourself in the head. So what happened to armor?
Wow. I was about, I was getting ready to go to the publisher with the first chapter of the graphic novel, which was 60 pages, and I had already illustrated up to 150 pages, and the files got corrupted, and so I lost everything, including notes, character designs, creature designs, facial expressions that I had come up with, and everything. All of it was lost, so I had to start completely from scratch about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Okay. How far are you now?
I have it completely rewritten, and everything's ready. I've just started illustrating again, and I've done the first two spreads.
Okay. So having gone through the process once and repeating now, are you changing things? Are you looking at things from, obviously looking at it from a different point of view? Were you like, oh my God, why was I thinking that on anything?
Yes. Yeah. I'm not a writer by trait, so it was getting a chance to go back and rewrite things and make it a little more cohesive and connected instead of drawing halfway while writing.
Yeah.
Which is always a bad idea. You end up redrawing.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to write it all out and get it all fleshed out and then go back and illustrate. So a much smoother process this time.
So are you going to do a Kickstarter with this, or are you just going straight to Diamond, or how are you doing this?
I have not decided yet. I figure I'll get it all illustrated and ready to go, and then I'll decide whether I'm going to do a Kickstarter to print. Yeah. So far, I've self-funded everything.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's nice that you're the writer-artist, so you can kind of work at your own pace. And how long did it take you to get to where you were before you lost everything?
5 years.
Okay.
So
we're going to like cut that in like a fifth, right? You're going to get there in a year.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, I mean, you've kind of, you know, you don't have to come up with the ideas necessarily.
Right,
You're refining the ideas that you already had. And,
right.
But I mean, like your Instagram has like a bunch of the designs and stuff. So you definitely have some of that like visual library there to refer to.
And I've drawn the characters so many times that it's just muscle memory now that I can just draw them straight out and I can capture their expressions, because I made specific expressions for each character, you know, based off of their personality, and I tried to make a distinct personality off of each one.
Very cool. And you have a really wide variety of art on your pages and stuff. Like some of it is like very comic booky. Some of it is very photorealistic. Some of it is, like, I guess caricature is not the right word, but like, definitely like that exaggerated reality.
Yeah.
With like features and things like that. Do you have a favorite style to draw?
It depends on what it is. Like, I really love Drew Struzan, so I like drawing in that style. Mm-hmm. Especially if it's for somebody I know that, like recently I did something for a kid I used to coach kids around him, and I knew him from coaching wrestling, and he had passed away, and I knew his family, and I did an illustration for the family, and it was, yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, it's really cool.
And it was that's when I'm doing something like that, I like to do it as serious and like in a Drew Struzan style. And then when I'm doing comics, I have a tendency to do more of a, almost a, not quite anime, but a cross between anime and an artist named Aaron Blaze, okay. His style.
What has he worked on? I'm not familiar with.
He worked on Brother Bear. He worked on his first project with Disney, I believe, was Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, wow.
And he worked on Mulan, as well as he worked on The Lion King.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Yeah, I'm looking him up right now. oh, nice.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, I can definitely see, like, looking at that now, like, seeing, like, a little bit of your his influence on your stuff. Very, very cool. All right, so you draw, you write, you UX. We know each other from a past life or a past job. What's your, I guess, like, so I know, like, when we do our design work for work, we use specific tools. Like, what's your toolkit for your comic book versus animation versus, you know, you know, something like an inked out awesome picture?
Well, it depends. For my comic book, I use mostly Photoshop and a Wacom tablet. And I draw on it just the same way as I would if I was drawing on paper. It just saves me a lot of paper because I don't mess up. If I mess up, I can just hit undo instead of throwing it away. All the Inktober stuff, that mostly was done just ink and pen. I spent no more than 90 minutes on it. It's the first thing I did. As soon as I woke up in the morning, before I even worked out, it was like a mental warm-up for me.
Do you have a favorite kind of pen to use? Or
I'll use anything from a ballpoint pen to a Micron marker or a Sharpie even.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, I mean, they were so cool. I mean, I was waiting every day, like, when's this next one to come? When's the next one to come?
That's a fun project.
And it was also fun because, like, I was in, like, Turkey and Spain.
Oh, yeah.
And you were posting that stuff, and it was like, oh, sweet. Like, nerd stuff. And nerd stuff I understand. Like, I went into a comic book store in Barcelona.
Yeah.
And, they were, like, super rude. You know, I speak Spanish, but not Catalonian. And so I tried to speak Spanish, and then they started speaking Catalonian to me, and I was like, whatever, man. Like, you know. And then I was like, do you speak English? And they're like, no. And it's like, you speak English. You're just being jerks. so, you know, there was that. But yeah, no, this is your stuff. I love when you post your artwork, and I always look forward to it. And
thank you.
You know, getting that. And then you have Rebel Studio,
yes.
Which is like kind of an all-purpose like design studio, I guess would be the way to look at that.
Yeah.
And it's obviously named after the Rebel Alliance and Star Wars. And you know, we've touched on already how Star Wars is a bit of a inspiration.
Yep.
Quote unquote, way of life.
Exactly.
You know, I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt. You have a Star Wars shirt on. You know, I was thinking about it the other day. More often than not, I have a Star Wars t-shirt on. Like, it's underneath or whatever and stuff. So, and the guy from Flying Pork Apparel now, like, I sent him this idea and I was like, hey, can you make these two specific shirts for me? He's like, yeah, hell yeah. By the way, go to flyingporkapparel.com and buy some shirts. but yeah, so what was it about Star Wars that really did it for you? That got you like got those creative juices flowing, that got you hooked on the IP?
I think it was
A specific character?
Luke. Definitely Luke Skywalker. You know, it was one of those things that it provided a moral compass kind of thing.
It wasn't because you both have blonde hair and are always thirsty to go to Tosche Station for power converters.
I'm always looking for power converters. At least one or two. And I think it was that. I think it was fast paced for that time period.
Yeah.
You know, and as a little kid, even the opening music just. I remember as a little kid because my parents didn't think we were going to get in to see the movie because it's always sold out.
What year were you born?
75.
Okay.
And we went to see it in a drive-in, And I remember sitting there, they told me we're going to go see Elf in Ears, which isn't a real movie, but they were like, just in case, that way he's not disappointed.
Right.
So I'm sitting there, and of course they don't want to take me into an actual movie theater because I was extremely hyper.
Yeah. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I know. So I'm sitting there, and as soon as that that music started, I couldn't even read or anything. I just screamed at the top of my lungs, Star Wars, you know, and my parents were so excited, you know, and I was, from that point on, I was hooked.
Yeah.
I mean, the music, the pace, the characters, it just, everything sparks your imagination.
So I think I was hooked when the first like laser bolts went back
through
the Tantive and the Star Destroyer. And I was like, this is for me.
Yeah.
This is my thing.
How old were you when you first saw it?
So I saw Empire Strikes Back first.
Okay.
Because I was born in 77, but not until December.
Okay.
So I was like 2.5 or whatever when Empire came out. Yeah. So my parents took me to see that. And I kind of remember that. But like, and I wasn't really like super into it after, like, I mean, I was like, hell yeah. Like Chewbacca and R2-D2 were it. But then, we got Star Wars on beta and, you know, I wore that thing out. And so I was like, I would, like Luke and Chewie were my imaginary friends and we would play poker with Darth Vader at this little table I had. Like I was all in. But then when I went and saw Return, the Rancor gave me nightmares for weeks.
Oh yeah.
And it wasn't the Rancor, it was the gate crashing down on him,
which
is a legitimate fear I have going under any overpass, regardless if there's even if there's no gate, right? Like, you know, like the actual like curved overpasses like that are all around this area. Like I had legitimate nightmares about that for years, that I was going to drive under in a car and it was just going to come down and crush me and the car.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, that's messed up, right? Explains a whole lot.
You did.
Now you know why I drive the way I drive.
Well, you know, but, I had nightmares from Empire, from Vader.
Yeah?
Because he was terrifying.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought, that guy sliced his arm off. He's his own kid.
And he could have been your dad, and it's like, oh my gosh.
My dad's just going to cut my arm off at any minute.
Right? Like, I better not be lippy.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't be lippy, Matthew, or I will cut your arm off. Cool. So what else are you into? Like, what other stuff are you into? Because I know we always talk a lot about Star Wars, but... and we talk a lot about design, obviously, because, you know, design, but...
As far as other influence type things, you know, obviously comic book Spider-Man, Batman. I love, I like quirky comics that you don't normally see, like Lock and Key before the TV show.
Did you like the TV
show? No, I couldn't get through it. I couldn't get through it.
So bad.
After about the third episode, I quit watching.
I watched all of it.
Did you?
All 10 episodes.
Oh, you're a brave man.
And, because I was just, look, so I was warned beforehand going in, like, hey, they condensed the whole thing. So I knew going in that they condensed it. And then I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, okay, you could do that all in one season.
Sure.
If you take out this storyline and this storyline and this storyline. But then I'm glad that they did not open with the murder of Rydell.
Right, right.
Because I think that would have been like a little graphic, and they were definitely going for like a larger thing.
Right.
But when they took away Tyler's part of the story.
Yeah.
By saving his family and beating Sam half to death. I was out, because Tyler is my favorite character in the book.
Yep, mine too.
And you know, and he was just whining about power converters the whole show. Yeah. He was like, there was nothing to him. And then Kenzie taking out her fear is one thing, but she took out her sorrow as well.
Yeah.
And I think they just wanted the fear to be a jump scare. They didn't want it to be, it didn't have any meaning to it.
Right.
And then they did not really understand like what not having fear, what does that mean? So it was kind of rough. Now this being said, I liked all the, other than Rendell being like a super handsome like biker dude, he was like far too cool for that character. Right. I liked everybody else that they cast as the character.
Oh yeah, I think the casting was great.
And then I missed the whole Alpha Key. Like the whole story of the Alpha Key was one of my favorite things. And again, it was such a big it was the Alpha and the Omega of Tyler's story, and we didn't even get it. I like the kid that they cast as Scott.
Yeah.
I was glad they didn't go like punk rock douche and they went like romantic cinephile.
Right.
I thought that was really neat. But yeah, it's just it was not good.
Yeah, and I think if I didn't know what if I hadn't read the comics and I didn't have any expectations, I think I probably would have liked it. But going into it, I felt like they kind of just dulled down all the characters.
So this is the third attempt. So is in it? 2010, AMC Fox did a pilot, and I actually saw that pilot because it aired at Comic-Con, and I was able to get a copy of it later on. And then Hulu 2 years ago did a pilot and did not pick it up.
Oh.
And then or maybe it was a year ago. And then Netflix picked it up off of that pilot, but then got rid of everybody but Bodhi, and recast. So it was a different cast.
Oh, okay.
I haven't ever seen the Hulu.
I've never seen that.
So but I think abandoning the horror elements in favor of the Riverdale elements and like the CWization of it was just like a huge misstep because they already have a bunch of shows like that.
And, yeah, you're right.
You know, like Stranger Things is coming to an end.
Yep.
I don't know if it's next season or the season after.
Sure.
But this came as a pre-built 6-season show.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah. So Lock and Key is one of my top 3 favorite comics of all time. I, if you haven't read Lock and Key, please go read Lock and Key. Go to infospodcast.com/comixology, get your free 30-day trial to Comixology Unlimited, and knock it out.
There you go.
I'm all about the plugs today, man.
Hey, that's good.
I never remember to plug things, and like today I'm all over it. What are some other comics?
I just recently finally got to read Hush, the Batman.
Yeah.
Because for a long time I didn't read comic book series because I didn't want it to influence
mine.
I get it. Now I'm going back and reading some, and I love the Star Wars comics. I know that we're back on Star Wars there, but the Vader ones.
So Dark Horse did their series like where they after right before Disney bought.
Oh yes.
So Dark Horse did. Brian Wood wrote those, and those were really good.
Yeah.
But I've really enjoyed the Marvel ones, and specifically Vader, Dr. Aphra.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, did you read Vader? Did you get to Vader Down yet?
Yeah.
That is, to me, hands down, the greatest Vader content we'll ever get.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the, I think, 6-8 page spread of him just having to pop into the middle of X-Wing maneuvers on that planet.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then, you know, he goes full Anakin Skywalker.
Yep.
With the piloting, and he's moving proton torpedoes with the force, and like he's not even holding the throttle and the what's it called when you fly the joystick, the steering wheel, if you will. that was a great series,
right?
I think adding Dr. Aphra really added some different color to Vader
because
she got away,
right?
Nobody gets away, spoilers. Cool. Have you read Chew? You like quirky stuff.
I have not.
Dude, Chew has got to be on your must read list.
Okay.
It's super quirky. It's a world where chicken is illegal.
Ooh.
There was a bird flu, essentially.
Okay.
And it was blamed on chickens. So chicken became illegal, and the FDA is now the most powerful law enforcement agency in the world.
Ooh.
And then the people there have food related powers. So the main character, his name is Tony Chu, and he's a sibiopath, which means anything he eats, he can see the history of it up until the point where he ate it.
Oh, no kidding.
Dead or alive.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
He's an FDA agent, and so like, you know, he'll nibble on like a finger to figure out how the person got murdered.
Wow.
And the only thing that he can eat that doesn't give him visions is beets. So it's really weird.
That's nuts.
It's John Lawton is the writer, and it's so weird, and it's so awesome. I'm a huge fan. They're making I think animated series, just like Invincible. They're doing an animated series. I want to say it's Showtime. I don't remember, but whoever it is, I'm definitely gonna get that streaming service for like that month to watch it all. But but yeah, that's a good one to check out. What else are you interested in? Comics wise, at least.
Comics wise, I just started getting back into Saga.
Okay.
Which when it first came out, I started reading and then had to stop because I was working on all my stuff.
Similar.
Yeah. So, and somebody had mentioned, man, that my style looked a lot like some of the pages in Saga.
Yeah.
And I started to read it, and it's really good.
Fiona
man.
Staples has such a great look to her art. You know, I have a bunch of the pops there.
And, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's huge. It's on like a hiatus, like an indefinite hiatus right now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because they had a bunch of other stuff to do. Because they both got super busy. But I liked being in at the ground floor of a Brian K. Vaughan story.
Yeah.
Because I came to Why the Last Man years after it ended.
Okay.
And then what was the other big one? Oh, the Ex Machina
was the other one
that I didn't get into until it was over.
Yeah, that's good stuff too.
So cool, man. What kind of like TV? Did you do a lot of TV? Because I know you were an athlete, like, and we'll definitely get into that. But like, did you get to watch a lot of TV growing up? Or
I mostly watched cartoons even through high school. I'll admit it. I got up early just to watch cartoons.
I still watch cartoons.
Oh, I do too. Now I have a kid, and I can use that as an excuse. But
dude, it's not even an excuse. I'll just throw SpongeBob on.
Oh, and well, my wife gives me a hard time because the other day I bought the Transformers the movie, which is one of my favorite animated movies of all time.
Absolutely.
And it's definitely the best Transformers movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll watch that. I wore out the VHS tape of that growing up, and then that, and actually G.I. Joe the movie.
Dude, G.I. Joe the movie, like, I guess gets a lot of hate, but it was so much fun.
I loved it.
Yeah, me too. I'm not a big G.I. Joe guy. So I just never, like, I was always more of the sci-fi than the military stuff.
I can understand. Anyway,
so. But.
But yeah, and I watched, I'm trying to think. I didn't watch a whole lot because I was constantly training for different things growing up.
So your dad was a wrestling coach, right?
No, he wasn't a coach. Or, he did wrestle, though.
Oh, he wrestled. Okay. Yeah. But not professional wrestling, like real person wrestling.
Yeah.
Real person wrestling. Professional wrestling is real wrestling. Like, you know, they hit each other and stuff. But yeah, so, and then you were pretty high level, right?
In high school, yeah, I competed quite a bit. I had an issue with my hip that I didn't realize until my senior year, and then once I got that taken care of, I had scholarships I turned down because I wanted to be a designer. But then after I graduated from college, I decided to compete again, and I wrestled some internationally and started doing judo internationally. And that really, I mean, I did that literally every other weekend. I was in another state doing judo just to get good enough to, I wanted to try to make the Olympic team.
Yeah. Yeah, I did judo for 2 years. And like, it was just a hobby. Like, it was just kind of fun to throw people around. And to be honest, in my class, there was a girl and her dad that took the class, and he was like 6'5", like 260, like, but like rawr.
Yeah.
And she was 5'1", and she would throw him around like a rag doll.
Oh, wow.
Cause she understood leverage better than anyone I've ever seen. So I just like sit there and watch them and be like, okay, all right, if I have to go up against him, all right, I see how, okay, I saw how she did that. And I go up against him, and he just throw me across the mat, and I'm like, "Fuck!" So,
well, my first practice, I remember, I went in, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna do judo. It's just like wrestling. And there's this old Japanese guy in there. He was probably, well, he's old to me at the time.
Yeah,
by my age
like,
now.
He was like 31.
Yeah. And I went in there, and there's no other students in there. And he's like, "Oh, they're at a tournament, It's called a She-Eye. I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, well, do you want to work out? He's like, sure. And he proceeded to beat me until I threw up and then beat me some more. And he goes, oh, did you wrestle? I said, yeah. He goes, oh, that's good. You're easy to throw. I'm like, oh, thanks, buddy. And he was so relaxed. I mean, yeah. I couldn't even feel his grip or anything. And then all of a sudden, wham, I'm on my head. And then we hit the mat, and then he chokes me unconscious. I'm like, you're allowed to do that?
Yep.
Like, yeah. I'm like, oh, fun.
Yeah, just using the sharp part of your forearm there. Hell yeah.
Yep.
So, very cool. What are you watching nowadays? Like movies, TV, cartoons?
I watched Picard, which is funny because I wasn't a big Star Trek fan.
So I was curious about that because we've always talked Star Wars and you've never mentioned Star Trek.
Well, it's funny because growing up, I always saw it and I was like, man, I just can't get into it. This is like, because they're, looking back, I can appreciate it more now. Mm-hmm. At the time, I'm like, they're not doing anything. They're just going to these places.
They're exploring.
Yeah, and that's it. They're looking explorers. At things. It's like Lewis and Clark in space.
Oh, that's another good comic, Manifest Destiny.
Yes.
Sorry.
You're right. That is a great one. But so I didn't really understand it. And then I started to appreciate it some with a new generation. but then I watched Picard and I thought, well, you know, I'll give it a shot. And I loved J.J. Abrams, which was really more of a Star Wars movie. It's his.
Hey, R2-D2 was in the 2009 one, so.
Yep. And so was Millennium Falcon.
Oh, yeah, I guess it was, wasn't it?
But yeah, and I actually liked Picard a lot.
Yeah.
And I was surprised because I really thought I was going to hate it.
It's, so I liked the original series. I liked Next Generation. I loved Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
I hated Voyager. Hated Voyager. And then I really liked Enterprise.
Yeah.
And so then there was no Star Trek for years. Discovery is actually really good.
Oh, is it?
I'm kind of pseudo obsessed with it. And then Picard has been great.
Yeah.
And the episode today, which I'm sure you haven't watched.
No, I watched it.
Oh, you watched it today. Oh, sweet. Let's talk about that. What the hell?
Yeah.
So a little bit of spoilers here. Allison Pill's character took a turn that I did not see coming at all, which was great.
Yep.
Is she not human? Is she something else? That was my thought too. But that was really cool. It was a really good episode. 7 of 9 had a great little arc in this episode.
Oh, that was really cool.
And
yeah,
it was really neat. I was watching. And I'm liking it more and more to The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Kind of right. Like so Mando was the through story, right?
Right.
But then like he had all these kind of comings and goings.
Yep.
And that's happening with Picard. I really want to see what happens with the Romulan samurai.
Yeah.
So
he hasn't done much so far.
Well, I mean, he cut that dude's head off.
Right. Well, yeah.
Which was really right. Neat, but, but yeah, so no, this was a good one. I really liked it. It was very Star Trek with like action. It was
it was a nice balance.
Yep. So and I think the like Discovery does a good job of that with the balance. I think Enterprise did a good job of that with the balance. But
yeah, I think you're right.
Plus, I love Scott Bakula, so I'll watch anything that he's in.
Well, I thought it was funny that and something I never thought about until I saw, I think it was the first episode when that guy beams into the girl's apartment. I thought, man, that so glad they don't have that kind of technology right now.
Right.
Does it have like a crazy like X like suddenly show up in your living room? Ugh, that's terrifying.
You'd have to have like some sort of like dampening field on your house to keep that from happening, I assume.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. So you're a dad. You have several children.
Yes.
You have gaggles of children. What do you have? Three?
Five.
Five.
I have five.
You're crazy.
Well, okay. Technically, three of them are a step, but I consider mine.
Hell
so.
Yeah. So, are you raising them in the nerd way? Like, is Star Wars a big thing with all of your kids?
I've tried.
You've tried.
Yeah. My oldest, he was he just can't sit still that long. He goes, he's 19 now, so he's living on his own. But if he goes out and skateboards, and he can't stay in the house.
Sure.
So that's not long enough to watch anything, at least. Although he loved the Joker, where I wasn't a big fan of the Joker.
I hated Joker.
I think that would be it's a good movie, but not a good Joker movie.
I don't even, it was just a sad ripoff of King of Comedy and Taxi Driver.
Oh, it's exactly.
I think with a better director, I still think with a better director, there was a good movie in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, people just are so hype on the idea of Joker in general that there's a lot of Joker colored glasses there. So.
Yeah. And I think that there are a lot of different people that could have played that part just as well.
So that's my whole thing. I don't know if you listened last week, but like I don't think Joaquin Phoenix should have won the Oscar because I rattled off. I think Billy Crudup could have done it. I think Jake Gyllenhaal could have done it. And I think Jude Law could have done it just as well,
Jude Law,
if not
great.
Better than Joaquin Phoenix. Yep. And I still to this day stand by the fact that I think Joaquin Phoenix only took the job so he could sit around and smoke cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I've never seen that's another thing about Picard.
Yeah.
He smokes through the whole movie. I haven't seen a movie where a character smokes since probably the 80s.
Yeah, not like that at least.
Not that much.
But,
every scene,
he
was smoking.
Anyway, so they're not like, is there other geeky stuff that like, are they like, so your oldest is into skateboarding, which is a definite form of expression.
Yeah.
I mean, I skate most days.
Yep.
What are the other ones into?
They're more into, they'll read the comic books. They like to ask me about mine all the time. And they ask, you know, if they can be a character in it and stuff.
Nice.
And
they all are, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's characters in there based off of friends I grew up with. And
is someone going to read it someday and be like some big, nasty, like, alien creature and be like, hey, what the hell, Matt?
Probably, yeah. I have friends I grew up with that will definitely know.
That was me.
Yeah.
Matt's a bastard.
Jerk.
I just drew a blank. I mean, I guess what else do you watch now to like get like, is there a certain movie genre, is there like TV genres that you use to again glean inspiration, or are you just trying to like mine all of that from your own psyche to create?
Most of my inspiration now comes from history.
Okay.
I watch a lot of history stuff and some archaeology stuff just to get ideas of just searching for something that's lost that people, you know, it's one thing to see it in a movie, but it's another thing to see people actually looking for something that they've, you know,
right.
only hearing about and only seeing hints about. So, I get a lot of inspiration from that. A lot of World War II, World War I videos, and Civil War and Revolutionary War stuff. And Roman history, reading a lot and watching a lot about that.
Did you ever watch Spartacus?
Yes.
That's a good show.
I got some inspiration from that.
That first season was a little rough, but
yeah, like, for the first season.
For the first half, but then it was really, really good.
The acting was great.
Right? The writing, the acting, it's funny, like, the sex and violence was kind of like an afterthought, kind of like the science fiction part of Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Like, it was a complete afterthought.
Yep. And the way they cussed in there and got to fit into their, that's the only time I've ever seen that type of language used in that period of time and made it work so seamlessly.
Like you watch Deadwood, I assume, right?
Yeah.
Like, so the first time I watched Deadwood, I tapped out like midway through the first episode because it's like, nobody talked like this back then. And and then it was like, you know, this is like, even for me, a lot of cussing. Like, you know, I mean, I cuss a lot, don't get me wrong, but like, it was a lot. And so, but I'm glad I went back to it. The Wire is great.
Yeah,
another great show. But the whole the period pieces and things like that, where they try and throw like common language in,
right?
Like, modern language,
right?
It's like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah,
Hold on a second there.
I think Game of Thrones did a pretty good job.
Well,
of working with, yeah, but I mean, and of course, it's, you know, not history, but
it's not.
But it's,
wait,
it's
that didn't
close.
Really happen.
Everything, the dragons were real.
Okay,
but outside of that, I don't think anybody else was.
I mean, I've been in the market for a Valyrian steel sword for years at this point, but now that I know that it's not real, I'm heartbroken.
Boy, I look like an idiot.
Wow, thank you for pulling that rug out from under. Anyway, so what do you do outside of like pop culture and dadness and all of that to like draw inspiration and like relax and then come back at, you know, armor with like a new head of steam and like creatively refreshed and ready to go?
Actually, one of the best things to do is watch people.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I like to go places and, especially at the gym when people don't realize you're watching them. That's fun.
And kind of creepy, but yeah, it's fun. I get it.
Because, you know, people do weird things when they're, they don't think anybody's watching. And it's like, you pick up on people's habits.
There's a couple, he's like way older than her. And he's way taller than her, but she follows him around everywhere he goes and they do like the same stuff, but like, they're always like right next to each other, which is fine. It's just weird. And then there's another couple of, an Asian woman and a white guy. And, you know, she is a freaking like just beast. Right?
Yeah.
And like, I mean, he's in really good shape too. So like, it's not like he's not a beast, but like watching the way they interact, but then they never use the same machine. They always take up two. And it's like, come on, you guys do the exact same workout. Like give someone else a chance to use the squat rack, please.
Right.
But no, that I was in Northside last weekend, at Rob's show.
Oh yeah.
And there's a bar, it's called Urban Artifact, and it's my favorite people watching place in Northside, because it's old people, it's Northside hipsters, it's like guys and girls who just graduated college in like the Patagonia, like,
yeah,
you know, the casual Friday Patagonia gear.
Yep.
And it's like, I just sit there and watch, and it's funny because they all interact so nicely, and like,
right,
there's no okay boomer going on. There's no like stupid millennials. It's just like, everyone's there to have a good time and be nice. But you know, the second they walk outside, like, they're like, screw you, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, but it's really funny to watch.
Yeah. So
people watching is great.
Yeah. And that's a good way to pick up on habits of people. And it, because, you know, at least with me writing, I do my best to pick up on people's, you know, how people really would react to situations, and to see people actually reacting without anybody watching.
Right.
Is pretty authentic.
Well, like, part of our day jobs, right, is to do just that, is to and then to feel empathy for those people, which, you know, as a couple of sociopaths is, you know, we've got people pretty fooled there. But yeah, I can imagine how you would be able to draw from that and then, you know, literally and figuratively draw from that.
It's a little weird when I'm at the gym drawing somebody when they're sitting there working. I was like, don't mind me. I'm just over here just sketching you.
Just a moment. Can you hold still? No. Hold still. No. Okay. Thank you.
Quit dropping that dumbbell. God, what are... Sit still.
Don't drop the weights. Set them down nicely. Very cool. Well, where can people find you online?
They can find me at the_MattTastic on Instagram and Twitter, or Rebel Studio Art on Instagram and Twitter.
Cool.
And I think Armor Comic on Instagram.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know about that one.
Yeah, I just, not too long ago, right before I lost everything, put that out there.
Very cool. Anything else you want to plug?
No, that's about it.
No?
I don't have a whole lot to plug. Well, you know, plug, whatever. Sounds weird.
So, well, you've got armor that you've started working on again.
Yes.
And, you know, hopefully that'll go faster than 5 years. You've got a bunch of other stuff. Like I said, you guys should definitely check out the MattTastic Instagram, because there's a ton of great art up there, and the Rebel Studio Art. You kind of cross pollinate a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, well, cool, man. Anything, any last words for the Infamous Podcast?
No, I just crowd? Really appreciate being on here. I like the show.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. So you can find us, new episodes every Sunday. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter as Infamous Podcast. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/infamous podcast. I changed the tiers, so there's two now. Okay. There's an entry level tier and essentially an experts tier. In the experts tier, if you back it for long enough, you get a free t-shirt. Well, not free t-shirt, you've paid for it, but you get a t-shirt from Flying Pork Apparel from the Infamous Podcast, so you can help support the show that way. I've also been posting the episodes to YouTube, so if you listen to stuff like this on YouTube, it's just one more way to check it out.
I didn't know that.
Anywhere podcast, like any podcast app we're on at this point, Spotify, definitely go subscribe on Spotify. If you're an Apple podcast listener, please feel free to give us a 5-star review with a nice little comment, would be wonderful. You can find me at Brian Tudor on most every social network. So I got that branding thing down. So
yeah.
Anyway. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming in. We'll definitely have to have you back soon.
Oh, I'd love that.
So when you get a little bit more along. Oh, no, hold on. Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about it. We have time.
That's fine, yeah.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time. All right, so what did you think of Rise of Skywalker?
I loved it.
Now.
I really did.
Did you read the leaked Duel of the Fates
I did.
Script? Do you have a comment on that?
Okay, I liked the Duel of the Fates. I thought that would have been a good movie too. I think that people would have been pissed about that. I mean, they're retconning Plagueis kind of, which would have, I mean, it's easy to look at it through rose-tinted glasses now. Because we didn't actually get the movie.
Rose-tico-tinted glasses.
Absolutely. And she would have had more to do, which I am fine either way.
So, I loved Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
It comes out on digital on March 17th.
Yep.
So, I've already pre-ordered it, ready to go. I really enjoyed the idea of Duel of the Fates. And I think it could be done later. With a different like kind of cast.
I agree.
And it would be interesting to see that with maybe some of these new agey Jedi that Rey is about to spawn.
Sure.
Through the teachings of Luke Skywalker.
Oh, I thought maybe she's going to have kids.
Oh, I mean, no. I mean, her one true love has died.
That's true.
So.
I don't know how babies are made in Galaxy Far, Far Away.
Well, apparently by the Force.
Exactly.
Hello, Anakin. But yeah, no, I just wanted your quick take.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
And we didn't share your celebration story. I'm gonna change something. Okay, so you liked it. All right, so when you first started with our group, before I left the group, I had been talking about Celebration because I was getting ready to go to Celebration Chicago.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, I've been to Celebration. I love Star Wars. The 501st had to carry me to an ambulance. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, please tell. So, and I know this is an embarrassing story, and so you don't have to tell it if you don't want to. But it's also the most amazing Star Wars story in real life I've ever heard. So.
Oh, no, it doesn't embarrass me at all.
How many celebrations have you been to?
That was the only one.
Oh, that was the only one.
Yeah. Okay. I like to do it in style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll never top that one. There's no reason to ever go again.
it was in Indianapolis, and I had to drive there at like 4 in the morning. And so I'm drinking Red Bulls all the way over there. I get there, I meet up with my friends. We're standing in line, and I realize, wow, we're going to be in this line for probably about 3 hours before we get in. I already had to pee. So I'm even asking people to pass me coffee cups. And I'm like, man, I just can't go. I can't go with all these people here. So I'm like, oh, well, I'll hold it. So then 3 hours later, when we finally start moving, I start walking, I start feeling this cramping feeling in my stomach, and I start like bending over. I'm like, oh, my stomach, you know, and I start shoving people out of the way because I realize, man, I'm going to go to the bathroom right now. And literally I run to this corner of this building with everybody standing there watching me, and I start to pee, I mean, in front of everybody, and I, as I'm peeing, I realize I'm going to pass out. And so I literally pass out, and I'm laying there in my own pee, and I'm thinking, this is it. This is how I'm going to go. I'm at Celebration.
This is my death.
I'm at Celebration in a puddle of my own pee, and I'm going to die. And people are walking by looking at me like, what is that guy's problem? And that was back when cell phones were flip phones. So they're taking pictures of me and walking by. And all of a sudden, I see these boots. I step over there. There's actually somebody dressed as Boba Fett, because I noticed the little spikes on the end.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I'm like, I'm hallucinating now, too. And then I hear this, yeah, he's up here. I've called an ambulance. And he proceeds to pick me up and tell me it's okay. He's taking me to the ambulance. He's part of the 501st. He's got Bluetooth in his helmet. Like, what?
What's
what
Bluetooth?
Is going on right
what
now?
What is Bluetooth?
And yeah, and he carried me to the ambulance. And then eventually I got back in there. And my friends were ready to kill me because they had to go to the hospital.
Oh, man. You ruined it for everyone.
Oh, yeah. What happened was my urine had backed up into my bloodstream.
Yeah.
Which apparently is bad.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
Like your kidneys start to shut down.
Yeah.
All that fun stuff. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, that's a fun celebration story. My celebration stories were not nearly as fun. It snowed in Chicago. Like it does in April. So it was funny because we were like, Chicago in April. All right. That's hit or miss. But, I mean, Chicago really only has like 3 days of summer, like in the middle of August.
Right.
And then it's back to winter. So.
Yeah.
Although it was pretty cool that the day that all the Wampas did their picture was the day that it really snowed.
Oh, yeah, so that was cool.
That was really neat.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. No, thank you for sharing that.
Oh, no problem.
That's just a very fun story. We bonded over that immediately. I was like, Matt's my new work best friend. So, and
yeah.
Then I left.
then he left. And there I am in my own pee.
Yeah. Again,
by
like, it was very strange. I'm like, oh, okay.
Starting
well,
to like it.
I'll see you, buddy. You and your weird pee fetish. Anyway, no, but again, thank you for coming on and talking about armor.
No
and can't wait to see it. Like I said, check him out. The Matt-tastic is probably the best place to go to see all his awesome artwork.
Thank you.
You can go back to October and see his Spidey that is adorned on my wall in place of honor.
Yeah, you got it just in time because usually after I draw them, I throw them away.
Yeah, which
take a picture of them, I just throw
really
them in the
made
trash.
Me sad when you said that.
Yeah, you literally sent me that. You commented on that. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll keep it and give it to him when I see him again. So, just in time.
Woo! Cool. All right. Well, I'll be back next week with another special guest. Which is going to happen for the next few weeks. And then there will be a cool surprise with the podcast. So, awesome. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Matt will see you online. Make sure to go say hi and give him a good follow.
Yeah.
And enjoy his artwork. Any last words?
No, thank you very much for having me.
All
appreciate
right.
it.
Thank you. Later.
Bye-bye.